Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. Okay.
Did you change the intro thing? I don't remember the have a blast thing.
We always have a blast. So that's the original.
Is that normal? This is the problem. I'm feeling dopey. Today is a dopey day.
Well, fortunately, it's almost Thursday. And Thursday means we get to have a big hug tomorrow.
I know. I am so freaking lucky. So when are you, brains is late, when are you landing? When are you arriving and all that good stuff?
I land at noon. So I'm going to head back. I'm going to head straight to the hotel, take a couple calls, and then probably meet up with Maria. And then we'll come over to the Watchers and Whiskey thing.
Cool. I still got to put the whiskeys together for that. I'll get around to it, but I still got to put the whiskeys together for that.
All right. Hit me up if you need help. We'll come around. I'll come around. Whatever you need. I'm there to say hey and hang out.
I'll be good. I just got to figure out which ones or what to actually bring with me. I got to get that all sorted out. That's today's task or something, because I'm going to be down at the office tomorrow anyway, because Maria's going to be in. We're going through a whole bunch of like security related, just going to go through a whole bunch of like new spiry stuff. So it's kind of felt weird. Where's the purple? I know the purple is washed out. I haven't put any more in yet. Actually, you know what it was? In the bloody
honorary purple background.
Yeah. This is, you know what it was? It was the from the biking. Like the end of last week and the weekend, I got so much bloody snow and ice in the beard. I think it just kind of came out with that. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, like better, if it wouldn't be for the wonderful call I got at 7 a.m. And we have a back set. You heard some of that right away on a text message, but we'll get into it. But the short story is, and I'll ask this question to everybody who probably can resonate with this. You know, when you have that one night of sleep that you plan for because you just don't sleep well and you need to plan for a good night's sleep, and you set an alarm clock, and then 5 minutes before your alarm goes off, somebody just wakes you up and you realize you could have had 5 more minutes of sleep. Well, that happened to me this morning, because somebody called my personal cell phone to call me and invite me to a webinar that I have no interest in, and I've never opted into this communications channel. Like, I don't even know why I would be interested in this company. That happened to me this morning, and I'm very cranky because I could have bought myself 5 more minutes of sleep, which is, for me, a lot.
A lot. A lot. Yeah. There's a part of me that wants to go, welcome to my world.
Yes, exactly. I knew you would understand me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right when I texted you.
That's why I've got RoboKiller. There's a reason. There is an absolute reason I have RoboKiller on the phone. I mean, it's terrible. I never answer the phone these days. I just don't.
Yeah.
I just don't answer the phone.
I only answer the phone if it's people I know, and obviously if it's, you know, organizations that you could tell who they are, and you say, I still verify.
There's one just came in now from Cyber Huskies Cybersecurity. I mean,
these cold calls.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, they're just blocked. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely ridiculous. It's getting to the, I don't answer the phone anymore.
100%. Yeah. And what's even more annoying when it went after that, and again, we'll get into this, but after that, I was like, okay, I'm going to get up and do my thing. I got to prep for this call and, you know, plug this. I'm going to plug a slide together because I can show everybody what I went through and what not to do. But literally 1 minute after he left the voicemail, he sent me an email with the invite.
I'm just like,
we do not learn.
Have you checked LinkedIn this morning just to see if LinkedIn, you got hit up on LinkedIn as well?
I didn't get hit up on LinkedIn. I tried finding the schmo on LinkedIn, but there are so many Chris's in the world. His name is Chris, and like there are like 5 million Chris's in this 30,000 person organization, and I don't know which Chris it is. My assumption is because I couldn't find it. I knew who it was after looking at the email. My assumption is it's not even a person associated directly as an FTE in the organization. It's probably a PR person or somebody like that that works for them.
I'm getting that from bloody there's one of the online who the hell is it? Wiz or something like that. One of the freaking. I'm getting a ton of those coming in from a third party. Where the hell is my junk email? There it is. There's one of them that just keeps on coming in. I mean, it's just freaking big. And it's a mailing list. And the problem is as well, you can't get rid of it. You just can't get rid of the mailing list. I mean, that's just, it's just nuts on this one.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll dive into it. I want to get into it. We have a few juicy examples today to go through, three to be exact. We'll start off with I think the most alarming one, which you posted about yesterday or the day before. How about you give us a little bit of detail into what I'm referring to, Mr.
Yeah. So I was talking to a good friend of mine. She was a little, how should we say, heated. It's probably a good way to put it. She's senior analyst. So, you know, got good experience, all this other good experience. The difference is she's half my age. So, and I remember the days when I was that young and nobody paid attention, unfortunately. No matter how much bloody experience and knowledge you had, they just pissed me off. Now, I had a few other factors into this one as well. And she was basically having a talk, an internal conversation with the organization about a vendor product. And I'm not sure if the vendor was on the call or not, but it was about a vendor product. And basically, she was rampaging against it, but it was like, it's back to, you know, it's a standard thing. It's unfortunately a vendor had handed over a half finished product. They'd had cross-site scripting and a couple of other issues on this product, and doing her absolute due diligence and exactly what she should be doing, basically was doing an assessment on it before it got released internally and said, hey, this still got issues. Well, she got taken to task by an internal person. And taken to the task, as opposed to the internal person going, well, that sucks, let me go beat up on the vendor. They actually ended up going after her to the point where she got this whole Missy comment, you know, Missy, you're in trouble now or something like that. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, it's one of those just one of those moments where you're like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And It brings back memories, but not memories, because nobody was ever that stupid to me. Let's just start with the easy one. Well, nobody's ever going to mistake me for Missy. Let's start with the easy one. But it brings back so many memories of, you know, when you're younger, especially, I mean, she's younger. So, you know, no, she doesn't have 20 plus years in this bloody industry, but she's got plenty enough years in this industry to recognize when there's an issue with a product and to be able to articulate it very effectively to a point to go, hey, the product stinks. And, you know, you need to go back to the vendor and basically get the shit fixed. And she was very articulate, very good about it and everything else. And again, an internal individual, rather than them actually going, oh, shit, thanks for finding that. That's fucking awesome. Let's go yell at them. Took it out on her instead, which to me is just absolute bullshit. I mean, first and foremost, you've got the Missy comment and a bunch of derogatory shit that goes with that. Secondly, you've got there's an ageist thing going on as well, because this other individual is quite a lot older, probably coming up on my age, to be perfectly honest. And if I ever get to that point, somebody needs to take me out and fucking shoot me. And thirdly, I think it's one of those things where it's, hang on, you know, our job inside, especially inside an organization, is to do the best we possibly can to protect an organization, not to take the vendor side, especially. So, you know, there's all the other stuff that goes along with that, plus everything else that goes along with it. So, yeah, I because of who the organization she works for, and because, yeah, it's a sensitive position she's in, she's like, hey, there's probably not much I can do or say about it, rather than just growl at you. And I'm like, do you want me to say something about it? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, yeah, go for it. So I put the post together that evening, and then it went out, yesterday morning, I think it was, which was, yeah.
I'm going to drop it in the comments, yeah, totally, here, so people can...
I think it's so bullshit. It's, you know, it's for a whole bunch of different reasons. I mean, like to Maria's point, it doesn't matter how old or young, you know, being called Missy is exactly a fucking throw punch moment. I mean, that's the thing that pisses me off, I think, more than anything else. I think there's a bunch of it. I mean, there's the Missy comment is, to me, the biggest one.
Yeah.
And the second one, I think, is simply the fact that, you know, it's a dual tie between the fact that, like, hang on, you're taking the vendor side in this rather than your own internal organization. Closely followed by the fact that, hang on, you've got somebody inside your organization that cares enough to do an assessment to point the fact out that, hey, the shit stinks. The application that you want to deploy actually isn't as secure as they think it is. And somebody's done their job effectively and well enough to point that out and then gets chastised for it. I mean, that pisses me off because, you know, you got somebody who's younger in our industry who wants to make a difference. I know this person well enough to know that they want to make a fucking difference. You know, they don't, it's, and so, you know, you've just taken a chunk out of them for doing that, which to me is just absolute bullshit. So
remind
so
me
with it. Yeah.
Remind me, at what point, was this in evaluation phase, or you're actually working with this company?
My understanding is they're working with them. So I don't know exactly. So we have to hold off on that one. I don't know exactly if it's working with or an eval. Sorry, they took the stitches out of the arm. So I'm now picking up a skull, which I shouldn't do.
Keep yourself together until tomorrow. Yes.
Oh, my right knee is an absolute mess at the moment, and my head's still fuzzy from taking the hit that I took.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So back to the example, the Missy comment. Was this a salesperson? What was their role in the organization?
The other person was also internal organization. There wasn't even a salesperson. Yeah, I mean, it was another internal person for the organization, which I think was just absolute bullshit.
Mm. Yeah, all right, lessons learned.
Yeah, I mean,
don't.
Well, yeah, no shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's bullshit. All right.
Yeah.
I
think that's one of those things. It's, you know, to me, it's because I would much rather they say something about it, because, I mean, well, first and foremost, I kind of want it to come from, I want it to come from the horse's mouth, for want a better way of putting it. You know, I'd rather it came from them because it helps them. But, oh, interesting. The project manager. Fuck. Yeah, that's even worse. allegedly. We'll leave her name off of it just in case. Yeah, I love her. She's awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing to me. It's yeah. When you turn on your own people, I think that's when I have a problem with the whole thing. I mean, it's, again, I put the CISO hat on for a second. We have one job. And I think I said this on the LinkedIn post. You know, we have one job. Our job is to protect. You know, everything else, all the other stuff that goes with it, we have one job, is to protect the organization, protect the people around us, protect their friends, protect their family, and all the other stuff that goes with it. And that's our job. End of conversation. And so when you have somebody inside the organization that's going, hey, you know, something's wrong, your ears light up and you pay attention. And I think it's terrible when when somebody doesn't take that into consideration. I'm running into a little bit of that at the moment with some of the stuff I'm working on, where there's some decisions being made that I wouldn't necessarily agree with, and some ideas being made that I don't agree with. And so, you know, that's definitely, I'm taking a step back to go, huh, you know, where do I think, or what do I think about that, and why? So yeah, there's a few things, but yeah, this whole thing was just like, it was just bullshit to me. So I figured it's going to be, at the very, very least, it's going to be a LinkedIn post.
I mean, obviously this is not an isolated situation. This happens so broadly in our industry, unfortunately. What do you think are the ways that we can alleviate or lower the amount of situations like this happening?
I think it's a couple of things. I think it's those of us that are in a position to call it out, call it out. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't make it an acceptable behavior. Let's start with the easy one. And we call it out. Now, am I going to call this person out directly at this moment in time? Absolutely not, because it's not my place to. However, the individual in question knows very well, you know, I know their first name, I know where they work, I could probably figure the rest of it out relatively quickly. And I'm not going to, because that's not my place at the moment, but I think they will definitely keep an eye on it. But I think it's definitely one of those things where it needs to be called out. And that's why the LinkedIn post went up on it as well, because it's definitely one of those things where it's like, hey, this shit's not acceptable. Now, the nice thing about that post is there's a lot of people that agree, which is good. And that's how it should be. And, you know, I'm an advocate. Let's face it. I'm big enough. I'm ugly enough. I've been blown up a couple of times. I've been shot a few times. I'm fairly resilient, shall we say, to most types of attack and abuse back. So it's kind of my place. If I can say something, I'm going to bloody well say something. So I'll do it. And I think that it behooves a lot of us in this position to do that as well. So, I mean, that's a lot of it. It's just call the shit out when you see it and address it, you know. And again, here's my other thing. If there was anybody else in that meeting that is of like my level, my age, my ilk, or whatever else on those lines, call it out as well. You need to be an advocate right there and then and call that shit out. I think that's the biggest thing. It's an advocate thing. Don't make it acceptable.
Do you mind if I use that post in the customer research hub I'm building as an example of what not to do? Okay. Yeah. And I'll link back to your original LinkedIn post. I'm probably going to kvetch about that as a topic.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things. You know, that was the honor from earlier this year, RSA this year, when I got the award, the Diversity DEI Award.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's unfortunately, we can't be in all the places all the time. You know, and I think there's a lot of us out there that are willing to stand up and go, hey, that shit's not right. But I think it's going to take more people. And I think, you know, All we can do, all I can do, is stand up and go, hey, this shit's not right, and do it in a public forum, and do it in a place where hopefully it empowers other people to know that they have the power to stand up and go, hey, this shit's not right. So, you know, and it's not just Missy, it's all sorts of fucking shit. I mean, I'm lucky. Let's face it, I am in that one category of human that is lucky. I'm 6'3", fairly large, I'm white, and I'm male. You know, I have, from that standpoint, I have all the luck, you know, because I'm not in a category where most, if anybody's ever going to say anything negative against me. I mean, let's face it, not to my face anyway, or even on call or anything else. Now online, different conversation, I had to deal with that shit. But and so therefore I'm in that lucky category. Therefore it's my fucking job to stand up for anybody else that needs to be stood up for.
Amen. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the next shitty example, shall we?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because we have a couple more. So I'm going to bring up my screen. We did this last week. I want to try and continue a few rounds with sharing the screen and showing the message. So again, let me know, folks, if this works with you. How do I share my screen? Here we go. There we go. All right. So remember, okay, so for those, here we go. Awesome. For those that came in late to this conversation, I was woken up by a phone call at 7 a.m. I set my alarm for 7:15 so that I can make it in time for this show. And okay, fine, it's my fault. I didn't put my phone on sleep mode or focus mode or whatever it is. I rarely
you
do.
You shouldn't have to stop. Stop saying it's your fault. That bullshit. Don't go there.
I rarely do. I rarely do. But last night was a special night because I planned to have an uninterrupted sleep. And if anybody knows me, yes, I joined the 5 a.m. club. Yesterday was not the 5 a.m. club. Oh. Today was not the 5 a.m. club. But I needed a good night's sleep last night. Why did I join the 5 a.m. club is a completely different story. We need 3 episodes for that. But in any case, this is what I got. 7 a.m. on the dot phone call, woke up, and then I got this text message, which was basically a deposited voicemail message. Chris from Carisoft Technology called me because he wants to invite me to a free webinar to get free CPE credits on the topic of cloud robotics and AI, exploring how government agencies and organizations are implementing technologies such as automation, cloud machine learning, and AI to improve information access and data security to help streamline all processes. The webinars could be on Thursday. They could be on Thursday, November 9th from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern time. And again, it's completely free and does offer CPE credit for anyone who attends this webinar. If you're interested or have any questions, feel free to give me a call. My number is blah, blah, blah. Again, this is Chris at Carisoft. Thanks and have a great day. Thank you, Chris, for calling my personal cell phone number, which I have no idea how you got it. Well, I can assume how you got it, but I never opted in to get any communication from Carisoft. And why in the hell would I be interested in cloud robotics and AI? I do not know. But okay.
Where's the area code for your phone?
Texas.
That's probably why.
Oh, but still, what time is it in Texas?
9 o'clock.
No, nobody calls 9 a.m. People are still waking up at 9 a.m. Still.
No, because it's Texas is an hour difference. So 2 hours.
I think it's an hour, 2 hours difference.
2 hours difference for you. Yeah.
Okay. So, let's just say for the sake of, benefit of the doubt for Chris.
Yep.
Austin, Texas. My LinkedIn profile says that I'm located in California.
But that would mean that they would actually have to do research on you and actually understand.
Whoa, ding, 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 ding. There you go. Let's go to the next slide.
Yeah, that would mean that automated system would actually have to be intelligent enough, because obviously, their artificial intelligence system is not actually apparently intelligent enough to know where the fuck you are.
Yeah. Well, I just the whole thing, I mean, forget about the rest of the stuff. When did I ever opt in? 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. Webinar invites via spam calls, lack of context in terms of will this even help me out or resonate with me? Maybe from, a very deep, deep, deep informational perspective. Paying for webinars, I don't know, CPEs. Yes, Joel. But calling the personal cell phone number, especially when you didn't give them your number, is a no-no, especially in our industry. I remember talking to Ryan, actually, in one of the first episodes of Audience First, and he said, never, ever, ever do that, ever. And if you do, apologize profusely and just back out and try and fix the situation, which I'm going to share this episode if I find Chris amongst the 1 million other Chris's that are on LinkedIn. I will share this episode with him. And actually, I responded to his email that he sent to me literally 1 minute after he deposited this voicemail message with an invite to the webinar. So I responded.
You're doing what I responded. Yeah.
I responded, hey.
That's all I'm doing.
Did you call me on my personal cell phone? I didn't get a response back. Though I was invited to reach out to him for any questions or comments or feedback. I am cranky because I'm very tired, obviously. This extra 5 minutes, that extra 15 minutes, like that's a power nap. And for those of you who know what power naps are, like those are amazing. I know because I was an athlete and had to do power naps in college all the time. But anyway, I'm very, very cranky because of this. But the example here and what not to do, all of the above, just don't call personal cell phones if they do not give that to you.
Well, I mean, it's I just looked at I have RoboKiller. I just looked at the last five voicemails that I have on RoboKiller, and four of them are spam calls. Four of them are, you know, this one is from a company. I mean, the one that came in this morning, it's from freaking Cyber Husky trying to offer me stuff. One coming in. Another one coming in from Tenable, for fuck's sake, who I have no desire to deal with because their CEO needs to be throat punched. Another one from Bella Network Realty. Yeah, I mean, that's all just in the last couple of days. And these are just the voicemails. This isn't even just all the calls. The calls are ridiculously. That's on this. And this is, again, personal cell phone. Yes, my number's out there. Let's face it. But this is all stuff where there's no opt-in on this in any way, shape, or form. So definitely a whole bunch of challenges and issues on this.
Yeah. RoboKiller, I'm going to take that down. I know you mentioned it like 30 episodes ago, and I still have not learned my lesson.
Yeah, I mean, RoboKiller is something, it's pretty much so a given in this day and age. Sorry, there's stuff going on.
Oh, no worries. This is a lively podcast. Yeah. Let's go to the next example, which you sent me a couple days ago, or yesterday, actually. You sent it to me. The advisory role opportunity. Sorry, didn't anonymize the company name. Whoopsie. So this is an interesting one, because I do want to drill down into this, because I am a firm believer that advisory boards are awesome. I think they're a great way to connect with people and to get feedback, especially if people are on board. But I wanted to get – I didn't give any commentary here with the what not to do and the arrows and all that kind of stuff. I want to break it down with you, and I want to hear your input on what you think didn't work well here, and if anything did work well, what was it?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I shot it over because I've not seen this before in this way. This, it kind of to me melded a few too many things in one. First and foremost, it came in very much as a sales / marketing kind of thing. Because it was, I saw that you are a professional in the cybersecurity and compliance space, and I thought you'd be a great addition. So, okay, let's talk about the first one. That first one is very generic. If you're going to want somebody to come on board as an advisor, you, in my opinion, you should at least try to make it very, very, very targeted, shall we say. This wasn't. This felt very generic. So, and again, the other thing is as well. So first and foremost, I mean, on my first sentence is, I thought you'd be a great addition for our cybersecurity advisory board. And so to me, it's like, well, hang on. You don't know me. You've never met me. You don't know who I am. I don't know what criteria you have used to inform this decision. But if the criteria is, hey, you're a CISO over at a company, and by the way, you got a big following, that's definitely not the criteria for an advisory board. So big asterisks and big concern by that one. I like the fact, hey, we're building a board of advisors, yada, 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 for their MDM. Great, like that idea. My other concern on this one is that next sentence, get shares in the company in return for participating in early release of product and providing feedback. We talked about this a number of shows ago, but this to me is bribery. This is very, very, this is getting into the area of favor given, favor owed, the steak lunch in return for an hour of your time. This is worse though, because this to me has huge financial implications. Plus from an ethics standpoint. So let's start with ethics. From an ethics standpoint, this, I have a problem with this one because, and I actually sent this to the internal team for me. I sent this to my internal team because I'm like, hey, do me a favor. Cause I actually looked at the website because I'd never heard of them. I looked at the website and the product itself doesn't look bad. I mean, we've already currently gone down a different route. But it was one of those things where having come out of the financial industry and having done this for many years, this really rang badly for me because I'm taking a favor to bring something into the organization. That's a really, really slippery slope. And then you go on for the next couple of sentences, which is automated device management. Love the idea on that one. That's great. I mean, that's some stuff that we're absolutely looking at. And then it's are you interested in discussing this further? Closely followed by the, you know, act now before the product is gone. It's like the sales network, the queue or whatever it is. That one's like, oh, there's only five mm-hmm. left. Call us now before it's gone. Yeah, we got four spots mm-hmm. remaining. So I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of being on the advisory board. I mean, I'm on a couple and the approach, shall we say, was definitely a little different. It was like, hey, we know you, we want to talk with you, we have lots of conversations, and then we have the conversation about being an advisor. But not this way. So I have a lot of issues with this. It melds the, hey, I want to sell you something, hey, it's going straight into junk with basically, to me, bribery, to be honest, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Big ethical problem with this one.
So what would be the alternative way to approach you if for some kind of advisory role or let's say think tank role to get feedback as a company and collaborate with you?
First, like anything, get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything, this a very European approach, which is get to know the person first. Get to know me. But I mean, I think it's also one of those things where it's a different approach because I get it on LinkedIn all the time. I get it on email rarely, but I get it on LinkedIn all the time. Hey, we'd love to have a conversation with you about our product and we just want to take 15 minutes of your time to get some feedback. Well, do you, or are you looking for another sale? And I think that's where I have a problem with it because I've gotten cynical. So there's a problem with that one. First and foremost, I'm cynical on this. So it's like, okay, are you after 15 minutes of my time to sell me something or you actually want legitimate feedback on a product? So I think that approach has got to change. But I think it's, you know, I think the advisory thing, to me, those are very much like in-person conversations or like, hey, you know, it's an ally's point. This is too long. First and foremost is like, Chris, hey, love to catch up with you, have a conversation with you. We've got something pretty cool that we want to deal with and we'd love to run it. You know, we'd love to pick your brains over it. You know, make it personal, you know, not, hey, we're doing this. We want 15 minutes of your time. Hey, we want to pick your, you know, make it human. Maybe that's it. I'm done with all the same fucking language. You know, every single fucking email inbound at the moment is the same shit. I just picked up, or I am about to pick up this weekend, another mountain bike. I'm actually picking up one of they call them fat tire bikes. It's like 5-inch wheels on 5-inch wide wheels on this thing for winter. Cause I went out on the mountain bike this winter. So for those of you that are into biking or anything else, there's a bike company out there called Surly. Surly. Here's what I loved about them. One, the products are good. Secondly, the US. Thirdly, steel, all this other kind of good stuff. But there's no bullshit. You know, I'm actually getting one called the ice cream truck. And what I love about it is you know, I'm going to read a section. I'm going to read a section from their site. And this is what I love. While we could certainly throw out terms like confidence inspiring and traction laden to describe the ice cream truck, those phrases are mostly bullshit. So we're not going to do that. We're not here to inspire you, and we didn't laden it with anything. What we did do is design a monolith of a trail bike that doesn't give two shits about what's in front of it. That's fucking perfect. That's exactly what I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for me, it's one of those things where it's honesty. And I think that's another thing. Somebody wants to approach me for an advisory role or for anything along those lines, be honest and be human. Hey, Chris, you want to pick your brains 15 minutes? No, you don't. You want to talk to me about an advisory role and your product? It ain't a 15 minutes conversation. Let's face it. Secondly, I think there's just different ways of doing it, and this isn't the right way.
Would you, what, so an advisory role, so there's a difference between an advisory role and pitching in for feedback. Advisory role to me implies regular availability. You know, if you look at any advisory agreement, there's a minimum of, you know, availability required.
Yep.
What, in your opinion or experience, is the ethical way to be compensated for that? I don't know if compensated or incentivized for that.
Compensated is the right way, because I mean, it takes time. It is absolutely the right way, and it's the right word as well. So I've done it a couple of different ways. I've done some where it is a stipend, a financial stipend, and I've done some, and I've got a couple now where it's purely stock or options, I should say. So, you know, you're granted a certain amount of those over a certain period of time. Sometimes it's upfront, sometimes it's over, you know, a year, sometimes it's over a longer period of time. And some of that's obviously dependent upon the work you do, the effort you put in, all this kind of good stuff. I mean, there's one I'm messing around with at the moment. And I mean, it's regular meetings and it's consistent. And it's like, hey, you know, they're rolling something out, or they're thinking about doing this, or they're looking at doing this, or hey, they got some more product features they're doing on this. Oh, the wolf map. So it's definitely, to me, I have no problem doing that if the expectations are set correctly. Sivan over at Onyxia is a perfect example on that. When she's like, hey, you know, I've talked to her over the years. And I think that's the other thing, is typically you bring advisors on who you know. You don't just reach out and randomly throw stuff out to people on this one. I think that's a big difference as well, is, and you get to know people by sitting down and talking with them or grabbing time with them at a conference or something like that. I mean, if you really want me as an advisor, to me, that's where it's like, hey, I'd love to, I want to come in and talk with you. I'm going to fly to Denver, or hey, where are you? You know, I'm going out, obviously I'm going out to the Middle East in a couple of weeks. Hey, we want to sit and meet. We want to have a conversation. To me, that's the right approach. That shows, to me, it also shows that you care as well, you know, or where are you going to be? Like, hey, let's catch up at RSA next year, you know, something along those lines, or wherever it might be. Because to me, that shows that there's more than just this, chucking it out and hoping for a sales opportunity. I think that to me is a big difference. An advisor is somebody literally that's advising your organization. I mean, you better take that thing, you better fucking take that seriously.
Yeah, that's a full program that needs management, that needs careful consideration. What if, let's take it kind of notch down, where you're not necessarily looking for an advisory role, but, you know, in many cases, looking for feedback, looking for bringing peers together to understand their world a little bit more, right? I have some comments regarding this, but I'd like your input. Do you have any, can you recall any experiences where you've been invited by a vendor to come in and contribute to some kind of like peer think tank, to give them advice and to contribute to insights for them in order to get better?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had quite a number of those. I mean, and that's the fun thing about it. There are times when that works well, and there are times when the approach is done correctly, and you know that the feedback is feedback. It's not, I'm trying to sell you, or it's not, I was like, hey, we are trying to get better. We're trying to do things the right way. We're trying to be effective. And I think that's the difference is, I think first and foremost, the approach is different. It isn't, hey, can we grab 50 minutes of your time to show you this to get you feedback? It's not that. It's like, you lay it out. It's like, hey, we are trying to get better. We're trying to get traction. We're trying to do this. It's tough because if you turn and say, hey, we're not trying to sell you something, the warning bells actually also go off as well, because normally that means you are. But I think it's a different approach. It's not a one and done. Maybe this is a way of looking at it. It's, you know, it's sales seems to be, not all sales, but a lot of sales seems to be one and done. I say one and done, but, you know, let's face it, fucking Salesforce puts an entire campaign where you get 20 emails, 19 of which you don't want. And so I think for me, it's definitely a different way of doing it. Is if you're going to want to have feedback from somebody, it's not just, you don't just send the one email out. You have to approach somebody properly. You want to know the human, because again, it's if you're looking for feedback, you better be picking your targets really, really well. You can't just go out to 100 people. I mean, again, maybe this is it. You don't go out to 100 people. You go out to 5 or 10 people that you trust. You don't send a fucking email, a generic email to 100 people going, hey, I want your feedback, because that's bullshit. You know, you target 10 people and you target them properly. You get to know that person. You do a bit of fucking research to figure out how to approach that person, and you approach them properly. You know, no generic shit. I think that's maybe, that to me is where I have the big difference on this one. You know, Ally and a couple of the other folks say this one. It's, you know, they're trying to groom that, you know, it's fear of missing out and a whole bunch of other stuff. I think that's the big one. I mean, that's, because again, it's going to take time. It takes time for you to do it, which is great because it means you want to put the effort in. If you're just sending a generic email out to 100 people, to me, you've put no effort and no time into this. You just don't care. But if you're actually going to research, you're going to figure out who the hell I am, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. I mean, a good friend is starting off like another security thing. Aaron is doing some stuff with like a tool. And he and I were talking about some stuff. He's like, hey, I want your feedback on this. Now, I've known him for a while. He's like, hey, we're building this. We're doing this. We think we've got a good approach, but we're also doing A, B, and C. I want some feedback from you on this one. If you got 30 minutes or an hour to sit down and really just tear through this? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. It was done right. The approach was laid out properly. It isn't a sales process. It is somebody who knows me, and it's somebody who's taken time. So for me, there's a very, very different way of looking at it, if that makes sense.
100%.
Yeah.
What kind of value do you see in these, you know, feedback sessions where other peers are part of it with the vendor, if at all?
I think sometimes it's good to get a different opinion, you know, especially if it's a couple of other people. Doing it one-on-one sometimes is good, but sometimes it's bad. I like it when it's, you get to actually sit down for a while and do these things. The stuff that you did for a while was fantastic because it was several of us in a room together, and we all approach it from different ideas. We all approach it from different markets. We all come at it from different areas. And so it's really nice to hear peers' feedback and peers' thoughts about why something might not work. I might come at it from a tech reason. Somebody else is looking at it from a financial reason. I'm looking at it from a tactical standpoint. Somebody else is looking at it from an operational standpoint. So having those diverse thoughts in a room is fantastic to me.
Awesome. I love it. I do want to bring on Justin Merhoff, who is a follower and an awesome individual. He has some comments that he wants to address regarding a specific new vendor that you might be familiar with. So let's bring Justin on.
Cool.
Justin, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Danny. I'm good. How are you?
Hey.
Hey. Very well. How's it going?
I'm a little less nervous talking to you than last time, so I've progressed. I wanted to give you credit. Onyxia, if I'm saying the name right, that you're on the board. Yosef approached me, and like straight out of Danny and yours playbook, we didn't really even talk about the tech. I mean, we talked and made it personal and made a connection. And I definitely, as soon as I heard that you were on the board, and it's not to kiss your ass, it's a stamp of approval, right? Like having people like yourself that's trusted in our industry. And I even told the CEO, I was like, you got your money's worth because a lot of people do trust you and trust Danny. Yeah. It was fun, Danny, to talk to their marketing and go, Danny's already done your homework for you about accessibility with the podcast that we did. So the other thing too, Chris, was when I first came on, I'll be honest, I didn't feel, and it wasn't fair. I didn't feel like we were talking about accessibility, you took it that way. But I think you did, because they're doing awesome things. And I can say that, like, I saw the tech, they're trying to make it accessible.
Yeah.
And it's very important to me, because we're keeping people out of our industry, and CISOs, we're an aging group. Like, we need tech that is accessible, so we can still do our jobs.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so, no, you
guys, yeah, to totally.
No, absolutely. It's Anixia is good. I got a meeting with them Thursday. Tomorrow. I don't know when. This week or next week? Some point coming up soon. I'm actually sitting down with them again. Again, there's that periodic sitting down and going through stuff. They're releasing. They're slowly but surely building out their tools and their tech. And yeah, I get to take it. I get to run through it with a Mack truck, which is really, really useful for all of those reasons. You know,
right.
The accessibility is definitely one of those, but the usability, the ease, yes. I mean, just all the things we've talked about, and then, you know, the history of all the other stuff that goes with it. It's and to their credit, they're listening. I mean, I think Dan, I mean, this is a big one as well. I think this is one of those things where I'm very careful, you know, to your point. It scares the hell out of me. I've got to be honest, it scares the hell out of me, but I'm just me, you know. I'm a grumpy freaking cup of tea in the morning kind of person. And I have to be very, very careful, because words are powerful and my actions can be as well. So you're right. You know, when I turn around and say, hey, I'm sitting on a board of something, or I'm doing this, I do want to make sure it's the right thing. I mean, there was a company, I think I lasted, 2-3 months at, a couple of years ago, because I walked in and what I was told was not what it was. And unfortunately, I very quickly went, and we're done here.
Right.
Because I did not want to be associated with it. I didn't need a phone call from somebody going, what the hell are you doing? You know, we trusted your opinions and your views, and look what the hell happened. I can't do that. I don't want to be responsible for that. So yeah, it's, I still screw up though, let's face it.
And I definitely told them, and I'll take liberty. I definitely told them, once they're there, definitely market the fact that it is accessible, because you guys are on the bleeding edge. This is a very, at the crawl phase, or in the infancy stage. And what I mean is cybersecurity tools being accessible, they're really not.
Yeah.
So right now that is a marketable thing. So just a recommendation.
No, I appreciate it. Absolutely. Absolutely appreciate the hell out of the feedback. Definitely. Yeah.
Awesome. So, thank you guys.
No, thank you. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Thank you. No, that was cool. That was really, really cool.
That was cool. Yeah. He asked to come on and give a shout out, and, you know, we champion, great companies, great products. We don't always call out the bad examples. We're about the alternative approach here.
I think that's right. There is a temptation sometimes to put a long old list out, but we'll reserve that, shall we say, for the days when it's really, really needed.
100%. I mean, we've gone through a fair share of bad examples today, provided those alternatives. Again, before we sign off today, I want to know if there's anything that you want to impart on the audience.
I think, you know, I'll use the mountain bike as an example, or the fat tide bike as an example. Do your research. You know, I'm very fortunate. I'm up in Netherlands, you know, several days a week now, like 3 or 4 days a week. And there's a freaking fantastic bike shop up there right next to the coffee shop. So I get to, every time I go do a route, I do a route. And then I'll stop at the coffee shop and I'll grab something to munch on and something to drink. And then before I bounce out again, so I'm always in bloody bike shop and talking with them. And they have, you know, 5 or 6 different, you know, flavors of bikes. And they, you know, I've just been talking with them. And I think this is, I walked in there the first time and just talked, And then we kept talking, and then we talked again, and they're just freaking amazing people. And so I started asking them, and, you know, they see me coming in, and, you know, especially in the weather now, they see me coming in ever more layers of clothing off the bike. And we got talking about it, and we just got talking about the fat side bikes, and they have a couple of different options in there. And we got talking about the Surleys, and one of the crews got like one of the old ice cream trucks from years ago. And it's just like, oh, this is great. This is fantastic. So not selling, nothing, just talking, and the enthusiasm and the love and the care. And so we talked about it, and they have a bike called the Krampus. I mean, that just makes me the fucking happiest person on this planet. And I really wanted the Krampus because it's just a cool freaking name, and the color's cool. It was nose runny curry or something like that is the color of this thing. It's freaking hilarious. And I really wanted it, and I'm like, this would be cool. And he's like, I don't think that's what you, and this was fantastic. You get a salesperson for, I mean, fucking, they're engineers in there, let's face it, telling me that's not what you want. And what's ironic and what's amazing about this one is the nose curry Krampus is actually more expensive than the ice cream truck. And so they actually steered me to the ice cream truck, which is cheaper. I mean, it's expensive for a bike, but it's not expensive. Depends on how you look at it, because they get stupid expensive and this isn't. But they steered me more towards the fat tire one, more towards actually the cheaper one as well, which is absolutely fantastic. But we got to know each other during the process over a couple of weeks, you know, and I think that to me, that experience there is needs to be translated across our entire industry, because they understood their customer. They understood what their customer wanted, what their customer thought they wanted versus what the customer needed. They understood the driving forces behind it. They understood budgets. They understood all these other things that were needed to be understood. And I'm excited about this. I'm looking forward to this. There's no dread. There's no trepidation. There's no buyer's remorse. There's nothing. I should be picking it up this weekend when I head up to NED. And it's, I'm looking forward to the experience. So I think that's it's know your customer. I mean, it really is. It's exactly. Yeah. There we go. Ken said it. Perfect. Building a relationship. There we go. Just in a fucking nutshell, building a relationship. That's all it is.
By the way, it's not even a shameless plug. I just say thank you. I'm going to drop links to three of the episodes we did last year on building relationship capital. So good. I'm still working on distilling the insights from those episodes to create a big guide on how to build relationship capital and security for sales and marketing. I think that's
the I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's just building that relationship. You know, that's all. And yes, that takes time. It takes effort.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's the right way to do it. It's the more rewarding way to do it. Both parties walk away from that and will continue to talk. I mean, I look at the same stuff I do with Newspire. So, I mean, that's partnership relationship. That's fucking family at this point in time, for crying out loud. So, you know, it's you look at stuff like that. I think that's the big difference to me. It's there's such a big difference in how to approach this stuff that I think when it's not done that way, it just stands out in such stark contrast.
Mm-hmm. I echo all of that. I do want to sign off. And really, this is me talking to myself. And maybe this will resonate. My hope is it will resonate with others. Is take time for you. Tomorrow for me is an example of that, just coming out and hanging out with people I love. I'm just kind of disconnecting a little bit from the norm. Things are crazy right now for a lot of people. So just take time for you, whether it's going to see people you love and you connect with, whether it's taking a 15-minute power nap, put your phone on silent, whether it's taking a day off. Burnout is big. I'm not saying I'm burnt out. I have a lot of power in me, but what with shitstorms happening in the world, chaos, take time for you. Remember that. I think that's an important reminder for everybody.
Yeah, big time. I kind of woke up yesterday, put the post out, and actually went back to bed. I couldn't face humans yesterday. So yeah, today feel a little bit better. I think I'm just still going to take a quiet day here. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing Maria and a bunch of other folks who actually reached out to me saying they're excited. I apologize if I didn't get back to you yet. I will today, and I will see you tomorrow.
Cool. Yeah, look forward to it. Safe travels, and I will see you. I will have all sorts of interesting, yummy alcohols waiting, and teas. I think I'm going to bring teas with me. Hopefully there's a kettle there. I better check in with that.
Good deal. All righty. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining today on another awesome episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. I appreciate you deeply. We have a lot of longtime listeners who come on every single week for the hour and engage in the discussion. So that's, you know, moving for me.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And by the way, we have one listener who came in to listen after, my assumption is you called him out or told him, hey, like, listen to the episode. This is not the way to do things. He's here now and he's listening, and that's awesome.
Good. Yeah, there's been a few of those. I think I've gotten to the point now where I'm just basically sending the link to the podcast because it's just, there's too much of the shit. There's just too much. I mean, literally, while we've been sitting here talking, there's three or four more came in. I'm just like, oy vey.
Yeah.
Come on, do better on this. We should be doing better on this.
Yeah, 100%. All right, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Give everybody a hug from me, please.
Will do. This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read?